Hey, my friends, welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. It's a Friday over here. We've been all over the place. Busy, busy morning, getting a lot of stuff done, bringing you guys the latest updated news every single day so you guys can stay strong and healthy. And how are you doing this morning?
Good.
Good. Adjusting my light. I had a hat on this morning. It's been one of those mornings from the gym to the office, back to the studio. We've been running around. And now there's an article that came out here. Now, I don't want to cover this because this is pretty wild here. And I'm going to make a shake because I'm getting hungry again.
I'm using vanilla fit food, a purple stick, and magnesium brain food. It actually tastes pretty good.
He commandeered my vanilla fit food.
I did. I grabbed it.
I grabbed it. I don't have much left. A lot of these cans are empty because we burned through them all.
All the purple sticks behind me are empty, by the way.
Are they really now?
All these are empty.
I mean, we use the product. We got more coming in, so make sure you guys stay stocked up on it. This is a wild article here now, though. It says, not fit for human use. Florida Surgeon General continues mRNA vaccine criticism, calls for expanded federal research. This is Dr. Joe Lopato, who's our Florida Surgeon General, and he has absolutely been going after these RNA shots again for good reason. He's now calling for the federal government to investigate injuries linked to the vaccine, because he's claiming there's not been an adequate job looking at the side effects from this. And he's right, but he's also on the fact of they do know what the side effects are. The VAERS report showed what the side effects were right out the gate when the shot was rolled out. Federal government chose to ignore it because the contract and the Operation Warp Speed, and it was under a military operation, an emergency use authorization, they didn't have to care what the side effects were. It was already rolled out. It already had trillions of dollars in those bills to fund all the hospital industrial complex, Moderna, Pfizer, AstraZeneca, and a whole other host of them. And he went on to say here, listen to this. This is a quote from him. He says, a longtime critic of the vaccines applauded an announcement from RFK Jr. that the vaccines are no longer recommended for healthy children and pregnant women. He said, but that is not enough. He said, we made this announcement 3 years ago. Yes, fortunately, very few children, very few adults are putting these RNA COVID-19 vaccines in their body still. They are not fit for human use. These are products that should not be going into human beings under any condition. Lopato called on the federal agencies, particularly National Institutes of Health, to expand research into what he calls vaccine injuries alongside long COVID. We need to study this better. We need to fund physicians who are caring for their patients clinically and doing scientific work in this area to figure out what is going on.
Send me that article. I got to send it out. We also need to get that posted at the Health Master's website. That needs to be posted. Not fit for human consumption from the Surgeon General.
Yeah.
That's pretty strong.
Not fit for human beings.
Well, you know, DeSantis is out of office in a year and a half.
I know.
Okay? That's a problem for us.
That's a huge problem.
I hope his wife runs for governor because he'll be right there beside her.
Yeah, that's true.
And I hope we keep this Surgeon General because he's telling the truth about this stuff.
He's the only Surgeon General in the entire country that said this, by the
way. Well, no, he's right. And this is why we didn't lock Florida down. This is why we did not recommend the vaccines. This is why, you know, we don't have a bunch of people dying everywhere down here. All in the Northeast, there's people dying everywhere still with heart attacks and strokes. It's awful what's happened up there in the Northeast because they were forced to do this before they could even go to a restaurant or anywhere else. So this is a mess. I remember when I was in Miami down there with you that time, and they literally, the table was like 2 feet away from the register. He says, you have to put your mask on to put the order in. I said, no, I don't. I sit at the table.
Yeah.
I just hand you the cash. I reach over and touch you. And he goes, no, you have to put your mask on. I said, I tell you what, how about I don't buy anything?
South Florida's a different world. Let me just clarify this to everybody.
Does anybody have a real job down there?
I don't know. I can't ever find
it. Just scams.
Well, no, it's like, with the exception of real estate,
and car dealership.
And car dealers, big car, exotic car dealers, exotic cars. That I can't ever figure out what anybody does when you talk to somebody down there.
And plastic surgery. They have some pretty good plastic surgery.
They do. That is a big market down there. But again, who pays for all that? Yeah, I mean, you get some celebrities and stuff down there. You run into a lot of people. Oh, I've got a new course. I've got a new pyramid scheme. I've got a new class you can take. I'm like, why? You rent all your stuff and everything's fake. You buy everything on credit cards. What do you do with your life? I'm not picking anybody, but Florida doesn't really – we don't really take, you know, Miami, South Florida as part of Florida. They're kind of like their own part of Florida. They really need to just be South Florida. We need to have regular Florida and South Florida and just split it into
two
states.
It's so liberal down there.
It's weird. And I mean, and then on top of that in Florida, we've got this crazy – what I was looking at earlier, this stuff that's come out now. Where's it at? I lost my page on here. This flesh-eating bacteria You see this?
Well, we can turn that loose with the alligators and the anacondas pythons.
They're warning against it now. They said it's already killed four people down here in Florida. And essentially what it does is it gets into the bloodstream.
Where do they get this stuff from? How are they catching
it? That's why I had the whole article pulled up and it dumped it on here. Let me pull it up real quick here. Salt water and brackish water. And apparently it's all over as far as a lot of the ocean right now.
Well, a lot of the sewage gets dumped into the ocean still.
Yeah.
And this is, you get all this runoff into the water. It's Everglades is a real problem, especially with Lake Okeechobee.
Yes.
Remember a few years ago, they dumped all that slime into the Gulf of Mexico.
Oh, it was a mess.
It caused a massive red tide.
In my opinion as well, I still think we're having long-term side effects with Deepwater Horizon. That was a massive mess. Yeah. So it wasn't just the oil that got released. They put all that chemical in the water. To basically dump that oil and drop it.
That Deepwater Horizon wasn't what we thought it was going to be. I remember when Mark Wahlberg did that movie on it.
Yeah.
And he said, we've drilled into the core of hell.
Yeah.
Remember? And all of a sudden, some people said it was black goo they were looking for, which is like a sentient oil. I did a whole show on this. I'm not going there today because that gets really weird. But that's some weird stuff. And I had a lady, basically, she got a little bit of an honor, burned her foot. It was a big deal. And then they were checking people's suitcases to see if they had taken samples.
I mean, I'd heard that before. Mm-hmm. And that was BP. And the thing about Florida, you'll walk outside with Florida and you're like, oh, man, yay, Florida's in a good mood today. It's Friday. We're going to have a good weekend. It's Florida. Florida looks down and goes, I'm angry now. You've angered me. All you get is flesh-eating bacteria, hurricane gators, water moccasins, and meth heads. Have fun. I'm in a bad mood this weekend. You're like, oh, man, guys. I thought it was going to be a good weekend.
Florida's funny. Yeah, yesterday I was over at Celebration, and some lady drove up and said, can we park here? She was from Scotland. She had the coolest accent. And I told her, I said, yeah, you can park there. You don't try to spend the night there. They'll probably tow you. And so I started talking to her. We were talking about the weather in Scotland. Mm. And I said, you were there. I mean, you're sitting there. Sitting there, and it's like 85 degrees, clear blue skies, and boom, it starts raining. Remember that?
It's like Florida.
And all of a sudden now it's like 50 degrees, and it's raining, and you're like, what the heck just happened? Then all of a sudden, boom, it's 85 degrees again.
Sunny again.
And I told her, I said, your weather in Scotland changes like second by the second. She said, oh, yeah, it's great. And I said, well, it's not like that here. It's just hot.
Well, we get some now here, too, especially these weird thunderstorm flooding things. We just get randomly parked over Orlando. The day I was over there, and it just dumped out.
Well, Tampa had 8 inches in like 3 hours the other day.
The best thing to do, I always tell people, if you're out in Tampa, you're out in Orlando, or any part of Florida, and that stuff starts coming in, just go grab lunch somewhere. Don't go driving it. Sometimes I've been in some of those storms before where, I mean, it's a full whiteout. I mean, you can't see past
your hood. I remember when I was a kid. I had a motorcycle, right?
Yeah.
When I was in college. And I remember whenever I see it would come, I would pull on an overhang. I would just
pull into a gas station. Just stop. Just get off the road. Especially on a bike.
Because, number one, if you wore a rain suit, you could. But they're so hot that you'd be soaking wet anyhow with a rain suit.
Yeah.
So now you not only are you wet, but you got sweat wet. And now you're stinking on top of everything else. So it's best just to pull over with a bike. I remember I learned that because these thunderstorms go by pretty quick.
They do in Florida. They're usually here and gone, especially during the summer.
Okay, now I've got to tell you a funny story.
All right.
NPR, National Public Radio.
Yeah.
That nobody listens to.
No.
Everybody hates. It's all part of the, how should I say, the cut that Trump just gave NPR because it's too liberal. And it says NPR CEO lies about the real risk to public safety with taxpayer funding being cut. Well, she's like a mean one too, boy. She goes, NPR CEO and welfare queen Catherine Mayer has come up with a brand new lie to protect your taxpayer funded slush fund to spread left wing lies. Get a load of the latest from this shameless broad. That's what this article calls her, a broad. I didn't say that. I'm reading you the article. The public media, public radio, public television are a critical part of the emergency response plans of nearly half the United States. That's a total lie. Nobody watches this stuff anymore. Mayer told the far-left CBS News, which just settled an election interference lawsuit with President Trump. She added, if these types of emergency alerting go away, you'll have fewer outlets to be able to respond in real time to natural disasters. That's not true. Earlier this week, America's favorite welfare queen laughably claimed that there's no left-wing bias on NPR. You know why Mayer has been reduced to this kind of desperate lying? Because in a world where Trump, the GOP, and new media can no longer play by the regime's media rules, she's got nothing left. You see, we can no longer be emotionally blackmailed. We can no longer play by the fake rules of the bait created by the left to stop us from expressing the truth. And all of this mess is about killing Big Bird is debunked as quickly as it is launched. Now, I will say this. There's only one decent show I ever saw, but it's no longer decent, that was on NPR. And that was Doctor Who.
Yeah.
But they went gay. And once they went gay, I was done. But that was a pretty cool show with a lot of really cool stuff. Now, some of the special effects were really bad. I got to give them credit for that. But then in the later years, it got better and better because it got more and more funny. But the problem with it was it just went super, 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 super gay. And, you know, and whatever. I mean, I'm not watching Dr. Ho. Dr. Who in order to watch a bunch of gay stuff on there. So I quit watching it. So I don't even see it on the air anymore. I think it went off.
Now, this is interesting. This is not surprising to me. As I was reading about this. The California bill now, they have now passed it. They're going to take taxpayer property taxes, and they're buying up all of the fire-ravaged property now, and they're going to turn it into low-income, high-density housing.
Oh, it was a plan all along, bud.
This aged way too well.
I guess who's going to own it?
BlackRock.
State Street.
BlackRock and State Street are the ones that are going in and funding and backing it. Yep. They're spending $101 million in property tax dollars. The thing is, they're saying here in this article, the bill allows them to spend $101 million in taxpayer funds. $101 million in real estate.
That's not going to buy much.
Isn't anything in California. This is going to be a multi-billion dollar buy-up, which is going to be backed with hedge funds, BlackRock and State Street. California spent $101 million and, what, thousands and thousands and thousands of California acres? That ain't buying you nothing. And what's crazy about this, I called this out when it was happening. Multiple other people did too. We said one of the main reasons why we think they're doing this, they're allowing these fires to get out of hand and burn uncontrollably as the mayor disappeared and ran off. And none of the fire hydrants had water in them. And all the personnel in EMT and fire were told to stand down. And now you've got this massive, massive opening for them to come in now and build low-income, high-density housing, which is exactly what they're going to do. And it's going to be controlled by BlackRock. Nobody's going to own anything, and they're going to tell everybody to love it. And now I saw this other article here, too, and this is a bunch of fodder is going on now. Ghislaine said she's ready to testify as Trump triples down. Now they're saying that Pam Bondi's been told to release the grand jury, basically, statements from the indictment from when with Epstein, as far as with his trial. I don't know what in the world, but I don't, where are they releasing? Because Epstein was a hoax. He didn't exist. Nothing was real. Nothing happened. Now they're releasing the grand jury indictments.
No, this whole thing's nonsense. This is like, we're going to release the Kennedy assassination stuff. No. They're not going to get a list.
This is an article from Jack O'Connor. I saw this.
This is damage control, buddy. Exactly. The GOP was coming apart.
This is an article. This guy's all over. He's got a huge Twitter account. He's real big as far as in the open alt media. And he said the Epstein list will never be released. Stop waiting. Stop hoping. It's not coming. And if it ever does, it'll be a doctored, sanitized lie to keep the public quiet. This isn't just a list of names. It's evidence, video, proof of presidents, politicians, billionaires raping children. Releasing it wouldn't just expose pedophiles, it would burn the entire system to the ground. And more importantly, it would strip Mossad's most powerful weapon, blackmail. That's how they own them, control them, and use them. The truth isn't hidden to protect the guilty, it's hidden to keep the war machine running.
That's exactly what we have said on the show.
That's his words. I can't say that much.
That's not us saying it, that's somebody else saying it. Same thing we've said.
He said they're never going to release it. They can't release it. If they release it, everything comes down, and all the teeth, the bite, the jaw, the pit bull of Mossad and the CIA, which, by the way, everybody said, why are you always picking on Mossad? CIA and Mossad, as Doug Hagman said, fit hand in glove on the show on Wednesday, to quote him.
Doug said that.
They are the same agency, essentially. They're ultra spider web connected. They were formed at the same time. They work together at everything. They share all intel together. So I'm not just picking on Mossad, picking on the CIA. They're one together. That's how tight-knit the intelligence community is, and I'm going to say spy on everyone. That's why they will never release these files in full fashion.
They can't.
That's why he said, all of a sudden Trump goes, oh, there's no files. There's nothing to see. Nothing's ever happened.
Gaslight, baby.
Just gaslighting everybody. And it's irritating, But again, I want to clarify that and clean that up today because now they're saying, oh, they're going to release the grand jury files.
Okay. Let me tell you what gaslighting means. There was a movie that came out, I believe it was Humphrey Bogart, Ingrid Bergman. I think those were the two who started it back in the 40s or the 50s. And that's when they were still using gas lights in homes. And they actually had gas that would turn on the wall and light up the house because they didn't have electricity yet. They're basically, it was done back in the 1800s as far as the time set. And what was interesting about it, this guy had this beautiful woman who basically was his wife, who was the heiress, who was the rich lady, and he started turning down the gas on the lights and telling her the gas was turned on full and it was bright light. We finally had it so dim in the house, she thought she was going nuts, and he kept lying to her. He gaslit her. That's where the term comes from, because he wanted to have her committed so he could seize her assets. And so that's when you say they're gaslighting. That means they're straight lying about something they're doing and saying, I'm not doing that. Why are you doing that?
This is your fault.
Yeah. There's nothing here. It's the Epstein hoax. It's not a hoax. They raped all those kids. People are committing suicide over it. People are dying over it. Some hoax. It's not a hoax. It's real. The problem is, like he said, they're not going to release it because it would underlie and basically destroy the CIA, Mossad influence, and the control of our politicians. And it's not just American politicians on the Epstein list, guys. You know, the British royal family was implicated in this. This is a major deal that they use to control people globally. It's a major thing. By the way, Huckabee is now threatened to declare Israel does not welcome Christians as visa row blows open. I know Mike Huckabee. I got a picture of him.
Interesting.
He's the head guy here in the Trump administration with Israel. The U.S. envoy penned scathing letter to the Interior Minister of Israel, accusing Israel of blocking Christian groups from entering Israel and warning of reciprocal steps against Israeli visa seekers. U.S. Ambassador to Israel, Mike Huckabee, who hopefully is waking up, has threatened to publicly declare that Israel no longer welcomes Christians or evangelical missions. The threat was issued in a letter that Huckabee sent on Wednesday to Interior Minister Moshe Arbel, which leaked to Hebrew media on Thursday. Arbel pushed back on the allegations in a response letter that was obtained by the Times of Israel. Huckabee, in a letter, threatened to order his embassy to take reciprocal measure against Israeli tourists with visas coming into the United States. Now, I have told you guys this for years and years and years, so let me just go ahead and say it so you can understand it this time for those of you who first hear it. They don't like Christians in Israel. Why don't they like Christians in Israel? Because we believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. We believe that the Jews in Israel who do not accept Jesus Christ as Messiah missed the calling of Jesus 2,000 years ago. They are waiting for their Messiah to come because they missed their Messiah, Jesus. And so they have this animosity, this atavistic hatred towards Christians. Now, they put up with us going over there. Apparently, they're not doing that as much as they used to because we spend a lot of tourist dollars there and because the evangelical Christians in the United States are being controlled through the Scofield Reference Bible, and they're supporting Israel and giving them billions and billions of dollars. I think it's like $36,000 per person in Israel every single year gets subsidized by the United States. There you go. So if you wonder where your tax dollars are going to about $36,000 per person per year in Israel, it's all their military and all the funding that we give them all of the time. Guys, why don't we give everybody here in the United States $36 million a year or $36,000 a year?
$36,000 a year, nice little bonus.
Oh, yeah. Why don't we do that?
So give them the taxes.
And now they don't want us over there. If you go over there and you proselytize as a Christian, they take you out back and they beat you, and then they arrest you and haul you to prison and jail. I just thought I'd mention that, too. All of this stuff. Remember, even Greta Thunberg got herself locked up, and they had to put her through re-education because she was coming over talking about Gaza.
They said they were making her watch videos of people getting tortured to remind her of how horrible Hamas is. That seems a bit
Clockwork Orange.
Yes.
Well, yeah, that was all CIA, and that's Stanley Kubrick trying to warn us what the CIA was doing.
That film, and I'm not recommending that.
No, not at all.
Using as a research study.
When it first came out, I walked out of it.
I watched
it's so
it
weird.
In college. I wrote a paper on it.
Did you? I didn't know that.
I was in psychology. Yes, I majored in psychology. In abnormal psych, they told us to pick a film to write a study on. It was a very strange film. I picked Clockwork Orange. Wrote a whole paper on it. Very, very strange film. I don't recommend it for normal usage. But if you watch it, that's exactly what Stanley Kubrick was doing. He displayed MK Ultra, what it does to people and how they use it to control people's behavior. And disturbing film.
I saw when it first came out, and I walked out.
Yeah,
it was so perverted.
You can't watch like a normal film. You have to watch it as almost a documentary. Stanley Kubrick did to display to you how unbelievably sick the CIA is and what they're involved in, what they did with MK Ultra in the 60s and 70s. So that's what the film's about. But that being said, that's exactly what they did to Greta Thunberg. I'm not a fan of her at all. But that was pretty strange when they came out and publicly said that. Now, good news for everyone. I'm not endorsing Coca-Cola, but they now said they're going to dump the high fructose corn syrup and switch over to cane sugar now and their U.S. made Coca-Cola.
I thought they said they weren't going to.
They said they're going to now.
So they've changed it finally.
Apparently, yeah. Well, see, they make it in the U.K. and in Mexico with 100% cane sugar. That's the one I tried when I was at the arcade a while back ago. They had a glass bottle in made in Mexico, and it was straight cane sugar.
Give you a headache, boy.
Gave me a headache, but I can't lie. It was pretty good. It tasted good, but I drank about a half of it, and I got a headache. I don't eat that much sugar. I don't recommend drinking Coca-Cola, but at least cane sugar doesn't have near the effects as high fructose corn syrup does on the liver.
Still really bad for
it's
you.
It's still really bad for you. So I'm not endorsing it, but it's about time. The high fructose corn syrup honestly needs to be banned. It needs to be banned with Red 40. There is absolutely zero purpose for high fructose corn syrup other than reduced costs in a lot of these products. They cause severe health problems, massively increased diabetes, massively increased non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. Because here's the thing you got to ask yourself the question, right? Coca-Cola has been around since, what, late 1800s, Dad?
Yeah, yes, it has. And they used to put real cocaine in them.
Right. Stop that now.
Supposedly made you feel real good.
I should give you a little buzz. But so the thing about it is, even back then, why didn't you hear about anybody coming down with non-alcoholic fatty liver disease? Why wasn't diabetes to the roof?
Because it wasn't high fructose.
Why wasn't heart disease to the roof? Back then, everybody smoked, too. Heck, everybody drank half the time back then. But what did everybody eat? Everybody ate real organic food almost all the time. Organic food, the term didn't really exist. But everybody had access to real raw food, not covered in pesticides, not with plasticizers and all this stuff after they process it, not high fructose corn syrup, especially not soybean oil. They used butter or lard. I mean, heck, be honest with you, now the more research I do, I feel like lard's better for you than doggone the soybean oil is. As far as the effects on the body, I'm not recommending lard.
Well, lard from pork, I don't recommend it at all.
I don't recommend
it
either.
I would recommend beef tallow over that.
Oh, beef tallow. But I'm saying I'm looking at it now, and the more research I do on the soybean oil and canola oil, I've known it for years.
No, it makes the blood like jelly.
It makes like jello. And what it does is the body can't process it. It stores up in the body. And so that's the thing you got to ask yourself. Everybody was using Coca-Cola back then. Everybody was smoking cigarettes. Everybody was doing all this stuff. And everybody still would be like 90, 100 years old.
That's true.
And heart disease, diabetes, all this stuff wasn't through the roof. What's changed? The preservatives, the pesticides, the glyphosate, the high fructose corn syrup, the Red 40, the vaccines that are ragged on all whole lists now. You guys had some vaccines back in the day, but it was nowhere near what it was.
Oh,
now.
No, we got – remember, they gave us Simeon 40.
They did give you Simeon 40.
Yeah, they did it on purpose.
That big experiment.
Yeah, now we end up – in fact, I had a friend of mine. He came down with bone cancer.
Yeah.
And I had lunch with him last week, and he's recovered now. And I told him, I said, the reason you got bone cancer is because of the Simeon 40 from the polio vaccine. I said, they gave us that crap. And I said, by the grace of God, I don't have any of that stuff because I take so many antioxidants all the time. But now they're putting the Simeon 40 back into the COVID shot. That's why he said it's not fit for human consumption because they want to make sure everybody gets another dose of Simeon 40, which is from cancer kidney cells from monkeys.
Right.
It's bad. By the way, Trump goes nuclear on Robert Murdoch. I mean, he went berserk.
Murdoch.
After his filthy rag, quote, publishes a letter to Epstein.
I saw that.
While calling for Bondi to clear his name. Because, remember, there's no evidence.
Oh, no, it doesn't exist.
It doesn't
there's
exist. It's
there.
A hoax. President Donald Trump went ballistic on the Wall Street Journal and owner Robert Murdoch, threatening to sue his blankety-blank off after a salacious birthday card Trump allegedly sent Jeffrey Epstein. The president called for Attorney General Pam Bondi to clear his name by releasing testimony in the disgraced financier's prosecution as the Epstein... Well, I thought there was nothing. I thought it was all a hoax.
No, it's a hoax.
The Wall Street Journal printed this letter, supposedly to Epstein, and he wrote on ProSocial, "These are not my words, not the way I talk. Also, I don't draw pictures," I told Robert Murdoch. "It was a scam that he shouldn't print this fake story, but he did. And now I'm going to sue his blankety blank." And that's what a third-rate newspaper does. The WSJ report claimed that Trump took part in Epstein's 50th birthday album by sending well wishes along with a randy message and a hand-drawn nude woman. That doesn't really sound like Trump.
That doesn't sound like Trump.
No, I'm not defending him. It doesn't sound like him. You might have put a picture in there or something, but not
a
hand-drawn.
Yeah, maybe a photo of a girl.
No.
Drawing a photo. What are you, 5 years old?
What is he, an artist? I mean, whatever.
No, he's definitely not that.
You know, no. The alleged birthday card featured the outline of a woman. Well, I'm not going to say that. With hours of the report's publication, Trump issued a scorched-earth message insisting the letter was fake and asked Bondi to release all pertinent grand jury testimony. Well, I thought it was all fake. That we get grand jury testimony? Bondi instantly responded, "President Trump, we are ready to move the court tomorrow to unseal the grand jury transcript."
Wait, whoa. there's nothing there. There's nothing in the files. It doesn't exist. It's the biggest hoax that's existed.
It comes days after the mounting fury falling on his knees not to release the infamous tax files, despite Trump's campaign promises. I mean, you know, it's so, you know, this is like putting 150% tariff on. Well, now it's 50%. Now it's 80%. Now it's 350% tariff.
Now we negotiate a 10%.
I mean, you talk about an unstable mess. Look at this. Look at the picture of her about half naked here at the doggone airplane.
That's Maxwell.
Oh, I know. That's her. Remember, riding around on a Lolita Express airplane.
A foot massage.
You know, I mean, unbelievable. I mean, just, you know.
Whatever.
Whatever. I mean, whatever.
Those two have their own little thing together. I mean, she's in prison. He's hanging out in Israel.
Well, no. Well, he's hanging out. He probably didn't even have any plastic surgery done, honestly. He doesn't care.
To. All he got to do is grow a beard out and wear a hat.
Well, you know, but, you know, he got a lot of free air. And so he might have to get that fixed. Bondi in February shared binders with MAGA influencers called Phase 1 of the Epstein release, but the folder.
Oh, yeah, the folder. The
folder contained previously released
the
information.
Folder.
Yeah. So, you know, it's just not, you know, it's not good. But none of it's real. It's all fake. You know, the thing about it is that, you know, this is gaslighting. That's why I told you what gaslighting was. Who in the blankety blank do they think believes this blankety blank nonsense?
That sums it up about that.
I read you what Solzhenitsyn said yesterday. We know they're lying. They know they're lying. They know they're lying, but they still continue to lie. I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, we know that Jeffrey Epstein was a perv. My gosh, he was under house arrest here in Florida for doing it.
Procuring underage girls for soliciting them to prostitution and trafficking them. Underage girls.
But that's why he had a plea deal with the mayor of Florida down here.
That's why
he didn't do anything.
That's why after he kept his mouth shut, Les Wexner gave him a $77 million mansion in Manhattan. The largest mansion in Manhattan. He gave it to him for free through a transfer of multiple LLCs. I wanted the whole thing yesterday. You know, you got to be involved in some pretty big stuff to get gifted a $77 million mansion. Seven-story Manhattan.
You know,
mansion.
The problem, if I owned something like that, so he gave it to me, I couldn't pay the taxes on it.
What do you do with it? Seven stories.
You put cameras in every single room and you blackmail everybody.
Oh.
And you have a big shower with a dental chair in it.
Well, that was down his island.
I thought that was the island had that.
I don't think they had that in the mansion.
Oh, God, what a sicko.
Yeah, here's another health article. It's talking again why breakfast with milk and high fructose laden cereal is one of the worst things you could put in your body in the morning.
Especially that highly processed. I wish they would take this ultra processed milk off the
market. That is a topic we need to write Lepato about. You're right. I didn't think about that. I went into detail about 6 months ago on this ultra pasteurized milk now. I'll do it in another article if you guys need
it. It's completely devoid of any living thing.
So what happens is they're even taking the organic milk, and it's not just pasteurized and homogenized, it's called ultra pasteurized. And about 2 years ago, I was buying some for the kids, and I thought ultra pasteurized. And I'm like, man, that's a little bit better, a little bit different, whatever. Well, then I started doing the research over it, and it's significantly worse. They run it over, I think, 260 or 280 degree stainless steel plates to the point that it literally wipes out every living element of the milk. No digestive enzymes, no valid protein. There's nothing that's left in the milk. It's done. It's not even considered food anymore. It's considered a processed food product. Doesn't have to be refrigerated if you don't want to. I didn't even know that. I found that out later on. They're like, yeah, you can just leave it out. It doesn't go bad. I'm like, it doesn't go bad. I'm like, is this box milk on the shelf? I'm like, it's supposed to be organic milk. Oh, yeah. You at some point refrigerate it or use it after you open it. I'm like, it's horrible. So be aware of that. There's a place down here in Florida that we go to it. It's a certified farm, and they're distributors. And we get raw certified organic milk down there, and the flavor. Not for human consumption. I wouldn't know anybody that drinks it. But if you did drink it, it probably tastes really good. But this article right here goes into detail.
Now, some states you can drink raw milk, and it's okay.
You drink raw milk in Florida.
Do you remember that time we were in England and we were driving around and they had that place that sold raw milk on the side of the street?
Yeah, and raw kefir.
They had raw kefir, and I remember you wanted it and Mom wanted it, and I remember it was so nasty.
It was kefir.
I mean,
it was real raw kefir.
I mean, it was sour.
Unflavored.
It was sour.
But I tell you what, though, that stuff is good for your digestive system.
Well, no, it was expensive, and I remember you wouldn't drink it. Mom wouldn't drink it. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. I remember it was like a quart size. I just turned it up, and I chugged the whole thing. Felt ill for about a day, but I drank it. It didn't hurt me.
It's good for your gut. Yeah. You know, I do massive work on filling up esophageal erosions and ulcers. Really good for that.
So anyhow, but I drank it, and it was fine. But I'm tell you what, it's supposed to be really healthy for you.
It says the biggest problem with common Western breakfasts with cereals, pastries, granola bars, white toast, sugary cereals, is that they're often super high in sugar with low protein. This combination leads to blood sugar spikes and crashes throughout the entire day. Remember, we've talked about this before. What you eat in the morning sets the tone for the rest of the day with your blood sugar and your pancreas and how it balances out.
Start rolling back and forth.
You start at first thing in the morning with a massive spike of sugar, a massive insulin spike because you eat something like, you know, Frosted Flakes. Your blood sugar spikes, insulin spikes, and it crashes. Then you have to drink more caffeine or coffee or Purple Sticks or some other food, try to get your blood sugar back up again. And so you end up on this up and down yo-yo effect all day long. You're fighting. You can't figure out why you feel like crap all day. And you're lethargic and you have no energy and you got a headache. It's because your blood sugar is unbelievably unstable. The breakfast is the most important. I don't want to sound cliche, but it's the most important meal of the day. That way, if you're better off doing some type of shake like a GH eye cleanse for breakfast first thing in the morning, stabilizing the blood sugar, and then eating a meal later. That's what I do a lot of times, or eat it with some eggs before the show. Because with us, and let's be honest with you, it's super important that Ted and I keep our blood sugar balanced first thing in the morning for the show. Nobody wants to get on this show with us and go, oh man, I feel like crap. My blood sugar's low. I'm going to take a nap. You got any more orange juice to spike my blood sugar again?
God, I'll take a nap with orange juice.
Yeah, I don't touch orange juice. You guys wouldn't watch the show. You'd be unbelievably bored. Like, I'm not listening to them.
You have to sleep on the air.
Take a nap. Z's.
So what do? I do my vanilla protein this morning. I took my doggone Purple Stick. I dumped some magnesium brain food in. I've already finished that. And I'm
you guys see me drinking
good.
In the morning. Drink 2-3 scoops of whey protein. I had a GHI a little bit ago. Sometimes I'll throw some eggs in. Depends what I have going on, how early I am.
Never, ever start breakfast with sugar.
Everything. In my opinion, I like having straight protein.
Me
protein
too.
And fat.
Eggs,
GHI cleanse. I don't eat any carbs in the morning. I don't like carbs in the morning. I don't need carbs in the morning. Save carbs for your next meal, your lunch, when you need that boost of basically low glycemic carbs like rice to push you through the day or get you into later workout in the day, and it keeps your blood sugar more stable. But don't start the morning off with pastries and granola bars and high cereal. You'll fight it all day, and that's the problem they said here in this study is that...
that's why we don't use sugar in the Purple Sticks.
No, we use monk fruit. That way, you know, because that's the other issue people run into with coffee.
Mm-hmm.
They drink coffee, when they go dump it like 4 tablespoons of sugar.
Oh, it's great.
And it tastes great. But then, what again? You get all the caffeine, you dump your adrenaline, then you dump your insulin.
You know what's funny? I've done it before, and I'm going to tell you what is weird. I'm not recommending this, but I've gone back on coffee before over the different times throughout the years.
Yeah.
Or I'll be in a hotel for a couple of days, and I drink coffee
back
in the morning because I like the way it tastes. And you dump them into sugar or whatever, single time I do it, I start getting brown spots back on my hands within 2 days.
Do you really?
That fast from the liver. That fast. And I'm like, because right now they're clear because I take my GHI every day. But we had a guy who used to work for us. He had spots everywhere. He used to have his coffee every day.
What do you think causes that? Why does the coffee do that?
I think it does it for the liver. I think it's hard on the liver. And then you're dumping all that sugar in there or sweetened low or stevia or whatever you're putting in there. And whatever you're doing is making it liver toxic.
Well, stevia is not liver toxic and monk fruit is not liver toxic.
Yeah, but I usually throw sugar in my coffee.
Well, I won't even lie. Nothing tastes the same regular cane sugar with some whole milk.
No, and so I think I drink it so infrequently, but I start getting brown spots on my hands. Within 2 days, and so I don't do it. It's not worth it. And then about the third day, I feel so rotten, and my energy is so low, and my moods are so bad that I'm like, "What am I doing? I know better than this." And then I go back to the Purple Sticks.
Well, I've heard too, and I don't have any documents on this, but I've also heard too, especially depending on the quality of the coffee and where they get it from, some coffees are heavily laden with different types of pesticides and chemicals.
It can be.
Depending on what they're exposed to, and I know some of them are also having high amounts of lead. Coming out of certain parts of South Africa.
Well,
South America,
that's because in South America they still use lead gas.
Fuel, and they don't have catalytic converters.
Now, think about it for a second. Let's go here for a second, okay? You go to China, and nobody has any pollution controls at all.
Zero.
Okay?
India, no pollution controls.
And you go try to drive in China, and you can't see the road because pollution's so bad. And then you go to South America, they tell you that the chocolate has been contaminated with lead because they're running lead gas. But yet, America's the number one polluter in the world. That's total crap. You go to China, you have to hold a wet washcloth over your face because it's so polluting. They don't even use wet scrubbers on the smokestacks in China. We have that technology, gosh, the 1940s and 50s in the United States. A wet scrubber is you got smoke pouring through the stack that's 200 feet tall, and you have like brushes that are wet with water running through them. They go back and forth, so the smoke goes through the wet scrubbers, and that allows it to precipitate, and you can take all that stuff that's going into the air and stop it. That's wet scrubber technology. That's old
school technology.
Old. But yeah, they don't even do that in China.
No.
But the U.S. is the most polluting country in the world. Another lie by the globalists to take our industry and ship it to China, where then they can then produce as much as they want with no pollution controls, and yet destroy the United States and not allow the middle class to survive here, period.
Well, and it was also designed to do is it was designed to allow the EPA to come in and put massive restrictions on vehicles further and further and further each year. Diesels, for example, Corey from PPI.
They don't have those in other countries.
No, Corey from PPI, he is huge right now. He's been doing it for years. He actually did my tuning for me years ago. He is huge now fighting against the EPA and getting with Congress because he has document after document after document, and going and showing now that the EPA lied about the information and the research on DPF fluids. He came out with it the other day, showing that literally it causes more pollution with the DPF filters because, A, you burn like three times as much fuel in these trucks. You get like 12 miles a gallon versus he showed tuning that he did on fully deleted trucks for off-road usage, and they were getting like 30 miles a gallon with almost the same amount of emissions as the DPF ones are doing.
And the DPF is just more money for the – I guess I guarantee you, if you look at the major manufacturers of DPF fluid, I guarantee you it's BlackRock, Century, Vanguard.
They were the same ones that pushed the mandate. And what's happening now, as he said, the vehicles are becoming so unreliable after 3 or 4 years right after the warranty goes out. These diesel engines that back in the day with the 7.3s, they were good for 25, 30, 40 years. The motors never stopped. He said now these trucks are having 3, 4 years into them. They're going into limp mode. They're burning turbos out. Tens of thousands of dollars. And there's the problem. If you don't replace it back with EPA-mandated parts and you delete it, now it's a felony. And he goes, so they're literally putting everybody in a box and saying, we're mandating this. You're forced to do it. We're screwing you. The vehicle's unreliable, and you've got to like it. So he's been fighting the EPA for a while, but it exactly goes to your point.
I remember years ago, I bought Sharon one of those. 10 years ago, I bought her one of those Mercedes SUVs.
Yeah.
You know, because she wanted a Mercedes SUV. And it was about the same price as a regular SUV. And I remember it had a diesel engine.
Yep.
The thing would get like 30, 35 miles per gallon on the highway.
Yeah.
It was great. And I remember I talked to the head guy in the shop, and I said, what do you think about the longevity of these diesels? He says, don't keep it out of warranty.
Yeah.
And I said, well, what do you mean? He goes, they overheat. And he goes, because they have all kinds of, you know, pollution stuff on them, they overheat. And
diesels aren't meant to have back
pressure. He said they're good for about 100,000 miles. Yeah. He goes, after that, he goes, they start having unbelievable expense trying to keep them running.
Yep.
And he says, don't keep one out of warranty, Ted. He goes, no matter what you do, never keep a Mercedes diesel out of warranty. And I thought, wow, that's coming from him.
Yeah.
Now, that's crazy, isn't that awesome? Because he said, they're not worth it. By the way, here's an interesting article. It says, there's far more to Trump and Epstein's relationship by the Trump biographer. It goes, years after his apparent suicide, which never happened, in a Manhattan federal lockup, the notorious sex offender and financial manipulator Jeffrey Epstein has returned from the dead. He's not dead. Probably returned from Israel to haunt Donald Trump and investigative a massive rupture in the Trump government and MAGA movement. Having long encouraged the proliferation of conspiracy theories on the right, from the racist birther myth about Barack Obama to the QAnon mania over alleged pedophilia among Democrats, Trump now stands accused of concealing proof of his own problems in Epstein files. According to Pam Bondi, claimed to have those files on her desk, promised to release them, now tells MAGA faithful that they will not be released. It says the most sedulous and servile Trump supporters of the right-wing media complex, from Jack Posobiec and Laura Loomer to Steve Bannon and Tucker Carlson, are now castigating not just Bonnie but the Trump administration because of what is happening. And it says the music, and this is obviously written by a left-wing person. It said that Wolf knows Trump well and knew Epstein very well, and what he has to say about them points out a very troubling direction. Last month, he discussed both subjects and their connections to the court of history and Midas Touch. And he says, while Trump has repeatedly tried to minimize his ties to Epstein, whom he now calls a creep, Wolf said Epstein and Trump had been best of friends for almost 15 years. I said this on the air the other day. You guys sent me letters. Here it is. This is his biographer, that Trump and Epstein were best of friends for 15 years. They were instrumental in each other's rise. The pair hunted women together, according to Wolf, but fell out as very rich men do over real estate. Trump went behind Epstein's back to outbid him on the Palm Beach property they both coveted. Epstein believed that Trump was actually laundering money for the Russian oligarch and threatened to expose him. And then, according to Wolf's recollection of what Epstein told him, Trump dropped a dime on his friend's trafficking of young girls to the Palm Beach Police Department. Hear this?
Those are strong allegations.
Man. I'm going to repeat this. And according to Trump's, basically a man who wrote his biography, to Wolf's recollection of what Epstein told him, Trump dropped a dime on his friend's trafficking of young girls to the Palm Beach Police Department, which, as Wolf notes, indicates that Trump had long been aware of the crimes perpetrated at Epstein's house. By the time of Trump's ascent to the presidency, Epstein was ready to drop a dime of his own. Wolf told Blumenthal and Wilson Howe, after Trump's election in 2016, I was sitting talking to Epstein. And he said, wait a minute, I've got to show you something. According to Wolf, Epstein went to a safe and came out with photographs, and they were Polaroids, and I'm not going to talk about what they contained. But how about that?
That's what this guy is saying.
Mm-hmm.
I can't verify all this. This is what his story is.
Well, they were Polaroids of Trump and girls.
Yeah, but I... Gosh, the problem is that whole story sounds way too accurate. I can't verify that. I wasn't there.
But again, I'm going to say this on Trump's behalf. I'm going to say this. I'm not trying to minimize any of this stuff that's happened. But what I will say is this. You take a 15, 16, 17-year-old girl, you dress her up in high heels, makeup, and an evening gown, and you make her look like she's 30 years old with a makeup artist. Unless you see ID on her, you don't know what her age is. That's a fact. I've seen that personally. I've seen it many, many times. You see these pictures. Now, I'm not talking about, meeting these people, but I've seen it on articles and stuff that I've read. These people you don't know what their age is. So if they were sitting on Trump's lap and they were young and they looked like they were 30 years old, you got to ask yourself a question. Who's getting set up for who now? Somebody's setting Trump up.
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden now they show the next picture of this girl. They're in pigtails. Okay. And they look like they're 12.
Yeah.
And you're like, what the heck just happened?
Yeah, I personally think that's how they get a lot of these guys, these politicians. Majority of them, like I said, they're probably straight pedophiles. But there's probably a lot of these guys that, they're at parties. They're drinking. They shouldn't be, but they are. And all of a sudden, these girls come in, like you said, they come in an evening gown. They look even like they're mid-20s. And all of a sudden, these guys oh, man, this girl's really hot. And all of a sudden, they find out, well, yeah, by the way, we got video footage of you and her. Like, oh, you recorded me? That's kind of sick, dude. Yeah, by the way, she's 14. And all of a sudden, you're like, oh, my gosh. But again, that's a whole weird topic.
That's a sick topic.
Pretty sick topic. But, one of those things about it is this stuff has to be brought up. But at the end of the day, we also got to address all the other things that we got to cover too with health, nutrition, and world news. This is just weird. This is a weird topic because we've heard a hoax all week, and now the grand jury is supposed to get released on it. So I don't know.
Let's talk about that Indian plane crash. I haven't covered that much that happened a few weeks ago.
Cover that.
This is some weird stuff. An Air India plane crash investigation focuses on the captain who remained calm while the first officer panicked about fuel supply being cut off moments before the disaster. Remember that plane lost power and came down.
I remember that.
Okay. Well, apparently, when they looked at the plane and looked at the wreckage, the fuel switches have been messed with. And these are toggle switches. Don't just toggle. You got to push them or pull them out to toggle them. And somebody messed with them. Somebody shut the fuel off. Investigations of the Air India plane crash are looking into the captain, who remained calm as his first officer panicked about the fuel supply to the engines being cut off. A black box recording of their conversation suggests that it was the captain, Samit, who turned off the switches and shut the fuel off to the engines during takeoff.
Oh, wow.
According to a close source of the U.S. side of the probe, the Wall Street Journal reports that the U.S. pilots who have reviewed the Indian investigation believe First Officer Clive Kunder, who was flying the aircraft, would likely have had his hands full flying to try to fly the Boeing Dreamliner steady. That responsibility would have been left the captain, who was acting as the monitoring pilot, free to oversee the position and possibly make adjustments and turn off the fuel supply.
Wow.
According to the official report, two crucial switches were flipped off, one after the other, exactly a second apart. 10 seconds later, both switches were turned back on, which means the fuel supply was interrupted, which would stall the engines.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, it's weird how the plane came up. I told you, mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden it got up, and then it started just dropping back down like somebody cut the fuel.
Well, the report comes after investigators focus on the pilot's medical records. He was suffering with severe depression and other mental health issues.
Yeah.
So now they're saying that basically they're implying that maybe he decided he wanted to commit suicide and take a bunch of other people with him, and that's why he shut the fuel off to the plane. So, I mean, it's unbelievable this is actually happening. In a short career, co-pilot 20, Clive Lunder, had already ogged over 3,000 hours. The Telegraph said that while the Air India declined to comment, an official working with the parent company, Tata Group, told the publication that Captain Sabharwal had not taken any medical leave, with the preliminary report failing to obtain any significant findings. So, this is a major deal. A lot of people died on this plane. And I remember I told you guys when I went into detail on what happened, how it came up and then kind of stalled. That would be a fuel supply issue. And then level back off, they tried to pull it back up and they couldn't do it. It got lost too much of its lift and it impacted.
You know, though, the thing about it is, it still bothers me, is how everybody's just completely ignored the fact that we had a Black Hawk helicopter in D.C. fly into a commercial plane and kill almost 100 people.
Yep.
You notice how that story has just, doesn't get talked about?
That's because it's a DEI. She was a DEI hire.
I mean, it was almost 100 people died on that plane. For no reason at all. This wasn't even like, oh, engine failed, bird strike, fuel line blew, somebody. It was straight up, the Black Hawk flew right into the commercial plane. A U.S. military aircraft flew into a commercial civilian plane.
Well, here's the problem I have with all of that. When these planes are coming in for landing like they have giant lights on them for landing.
Everything's lit up.
I mean, it's lit up like a Christmas, and it's blinding light.
Blinding light. If you ever go to an airport and watch these guys land, like smaller airports, you see them come in, you can't miss them.
I mean, and here's the other thing, too, and I'm going to say this as a pilot, because I'm a licensed pilot. I believe that if you're going to be flying commercial, you need to be evaluated from a mental health standpoint.
But it wasn't the commercial. I agree with you on that.
No, the Black Hawk pilot could have had a problem with mental health.
That was military. That was DOD.
That doesn't matter. She needs to be checked for mental health. Because here's the problem. If a person's suicidally depressed, and this happened before, and you put them behind the air curtains, all you got to do if you want to check out, shut power, drop the nose, and that's
done.
It. And it's done.
You know, you can't recover.
If you're not high enough, you ain't going to recover. Like this guy over in India can't recover. And see, that's the problem people don't understand. If you're carrying passengers or you're carrying crew or you're a military helicopter and you're flying within commercial airspace, you darn sure better have your head on right.
You don't think about it, though, and I'm the only one that covered this, is the fact that Lockheed Martin rolled out that pilot program where they could control any military Blackhawk autonomously with AI systems and override even the pilot of the aircraft. I went into detail after that situation happened, but I just want to bring it up because we're bringing up a thing in India, and I'm sitting there going, you know, what in the world happened with this whole thing in D.C., and why has nobody talked about it? We had a doggone DOD Blackhawk flying to a commercial airline. Very strange. And you guys, again, keep up the truth every day. I'm getting a lot of emails from people that are getting really encouraged by what we're doing, that are getting a lot of the truth out there. Thank you guys for the support on this. I really love to see a lot of the engagement. You know, you guys put comments on stuff, putting comments on products, writing comments on some of the shows. Thank you for keeping up with that. I appreciate it. We need that. It helps get the algorithms up there, as much as I hate dealing with that stuff. The more truth we can get out there, the more people can wake up. I mean, we got the Surgeon General of Florida now saying that these shots aren't even fit for human consumption. We got food dyes coming out of the, you know, basically a lot of these foods now with RFK Jr. We got fluoride coming out of the water. I feel like, at least from a health standpoint, from a moral ethical standpoint in D.C., I'm not even going to go there. But from a food standpoint, I feel like more and more people are starting to wake up with what's going on. Because like I said earlier, you know, 100 years ago, vast majority of people didn't really notice anything about health because they didn't have to, because everybody was generally healthy for the most part, even though some habits were bad. But it's because everybody had proper nutrient density and proper nutrients. That's why, like with the Ultimate Multiple, that's one of the best products you could throw in your arsenal, because you're actually getting all the raw vitamins and minerals that are chelated and bioavailable, and they go right into your cells and feed your body and keep your body strong. So if you guys need anything, be sure to check out the website at Team Health Masters. The Ultimate Multiple is on sale for product of the week. If you guys want to grab that, go ahead and do so. And this is another article that came up, says eating late, relative sleep time linked to poor blood sugar control. And this a lot of times has to do with high carbohydrate intake late at night. It says the late night snack you caved in for is disrupting your body's natural rhythm and silently nudging up your blood sugar, waistline, and diabetes risk. Recent study published in Journal of eBiomedicine found that eating most of your calories later relative to your circadian rhythm is associated with signs of insulin resistance, which increases type 2 diabetes. This is why I've told everybody, try to make sure when you're eating your final meal, if you have to eat a late night snack, if you're training, if you're hungry, if you're really trying to recover, make sure you're eating something with virtually no carbs, like eggs. Eggs are one of the best bedtime snacks.
They are.
Fat, protein, boom. Blood sugar stable, you'll sleep like a baby, especially if you throw in the total rest of the melatonin.
Oh, yeah.
You'll sleep like a baby. You want to stay up late and have bad blood sugar? Eat a bowl of ice cream right before you go to bed.
Or have some chocolate.
Yeah, some chocolate. Yeah. Some chocolate fudge on it or some whipped cream on it. Oh, yeah. Speaking from experience, you're going to be up 3 or 4 times throughout the night because your blood sugar.
I've done it before. I had chocolate before you go to bed. Also, you wake up and you go, this is great.
I couldn't figure out what happened. And then I realized throughout the night, my blood sugar was constantly fighting up and down, up and down. My insulin spiking, insulin spiking. So I'm waking up, getting up, drinking water, real thirsty. And I'm like, what did I do? Oh, I ate ice cream before I went to bed. Horrible mistake. If you're going to eat something late at night, eat high protein, high fat, stabilize your blood sugar, helps you recover, helps you sleep really good, and really helps to maintain your hormone levels as well.
In fact, this is a new study that just came out that said we want to analyze whether it's the lack of calorie burning and exercise or the change of diet of the American population, which has caused a massive influx of obesity in the Western world. This is a very good article. And it says basically they analyzed everything and they said the calorie intake in the junk food and the high fructose corn syrup are 10 times more likely to be causing the weight gain than lack of exercise.
Wow.
10 times, they say in this article.
Wow.
In other words, we're eating too much and we're eating the wrong kinds of foods.
Food. Exactly.
The study also suggested a sub-analysis of diets of some of the groups from both highly and both the both kind of, it says that high ultra-processed foods, which the study authors cite as industrial formulations of 5 or more ingredients and higher body fat percentages, we are to be blunt, eating too much and probably eating the wrong foods. The study confirms that I've been saying that diet is the key fulcrum in our obesity epidemic. That's why I told you that when my friend ended up getting arrested for something she did not do, she ended up losing 60 pounds in jail in 90 days. 60 pounds.
They don't feed you high calories in lockdown.
No, they don't do it. And he goes, other changes of experts agree, it's clear that our new research and other studies that are changes to our food and not our activity are the dominant drivers of obesity. Now I'm talking about high fructose corn syrup being put into everything. Nope. The findings don't mean that exercise is unimportant. Exercise is important. But he says that to address obesity, public health efforts need to focus on diet and the amount of calories and ultra-processed foods. They are the real cause of obesity. Now, you know what's so funny? They had to do this big study to prove this. We already knew this. I've been telling you guys this for the last 10 years, 20 years, 30 years.
We've been saying it on the show since we were on the show, just in this show, 2015.
Unbelievable.
We're talking about it in detail. And that's the thing.
But they had to do a study.
And I did a whole half a show on it last year about how big food industrial complex actually did research on finding the most addictive formulation based on sugar, based on fats, based on monosodium glutamate, which is MSG, and combining all those with the carbohydrate count and actually a grid with a perfect ratio that makes the food as addictive
as possible.
As possible, almost as addictive as street drugs in some cases to the brain. It stimulates the brain that much when you combine
fast
sugar, carbs, MSG all in one handle. And that's why you see these foods like the potato chips, all this stuff. If you're going to get something like that, get some organic stuff that doesn't use soybean oil.
Make sure it's been baked.
Avocado oil has been baked. They make some real good chips on the market like that. They got avocado oil in them, and they're all organic.
This study was 4,200 women and men from all over the Western world.
It was a big study.
It was a big study, and it was basically it was done by a major university, and they said, this is a big problem that we're having right now in the United States, which, I mean, you don't have to be doing a university study to figure it out.
No.
And the study confirms what I've been saying. The professor at Gillings School of Global Public Health at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill and an obesity expert. What it is that here's the ideal weight. Here's what you do. Go to your grocery store and get some organic rotisserie chicken. Bring it home. Get the fat. Take the skin off of it. Throw it in the garbage. Or feed it to your dogs. They love it. Okay? Your cats. They love it. Okay? But make sure they don't mess up their bowels if they're in the house. You don't want to deal with that. But the reality is then take that chicken, put it in the refrigerator. If you get too much of it, freeze it. And then get some organic vegetables. Eat the organic vegetables. Eat the chicken. It's low glycemic. It's high protein. There's still enough fat from the chicken because it's rotisserie cooked, and you will lose weight like you can't believe. Keep your calories at around 1,500 if you're a guy, about 1,200 if you're a girl, and just watch the weight fall off. And then if you really want to kickstart it, do the berberine.
Oh, yeah, okay, the cinnamon extract.
And the cinnamon extract, and also the HGA stimulate, and you'll be amazed. And if you have to throw in the thyroid support, it'll be like melting butter in a microwave. It'll come right off. But guys, listen to me. It's not going to happen in the first couple of days. It's going to take the first couple of weeks. And all of a sudden you'll start getting on the scales. And what you'll notice is that your pants are fitting looser.
Yep.
And your weight may not drop initially, but your pants are fitting looser. And you're going, well, I'm feeling better. I'm looking better. And all of a sudden it'll just like drop. It'll drop.
And
it'll drop.
A lot of people also first because they also start cleaning their colon out.
Oh, yeah.
Their digestive system, mm-hmm. stomach starts coming down. Less bloat, less swollen. Everything starts. And all of a sudden, my stomach's not that big anymore.
So if you really want to get a good start, go through a can of GHI and do a GHI fast for about 4 days.
I was just about to say, if you're going to do it and you're actually going to do it and commit to it and make it a lifestyle, detoxify your body first. Get your liver, get your kidneys, get your colon, get all that cleaned out and detox. That way, when you start on it, you start with a fresh slate. And if you're training really hard and you need a little bit more carbs, you can add a little bit more of like organic brown rice in with some of the vegetables. Just make sure you're monitoring how many carbohydrates you're getting at that point if you're trying to really lift heavy.
That's one of the reasons Doug Hagman's getting better is because he's been doing that GHI
cleanse. Yeah. It really cleans out the liver.
I take that every day. I love that product.
So start off the morning with it.
Yeah.
But that is the easiest way to burn fat. Like I said, the thyroid support, because I do know a lot of people now, and I think it's because of the water and a lot of the preservatives.
The fluorine and the chloride.
They're contacting me, and I've seen a lot of people seeing their blood work and basically their TSH, their thyroid stimulating hormone. It's to the floor. And I'm looking, I'm like 50 pounds overweight. I'm fighting my weight. I'm trying to eat clean, but I'm not losing weight. And I'm like, well, what are you drinking? And a lot of times I'm drinking tap water. To cut the tap water out, make sure you're doing our distiller or reverse osmosis.
Let me tell you why. Fluorine and chlorine are halogens, yep. So is iodine. And the thyroid has to have iodine to function properly. If you're using chlorinated and fluorinated water, the thyroid absorbs the fluoride, it absorbs the chlorine, and it doesn't have enough space to absorb the iodine, and it won't work right. You've got to cut out the tap water and cut out the iodine, or increase the iodine. Take one a day of our iodine tablets and stop drinking tap water. It's that bad. And don't drink well water. It's too contaminated with industrial pesticides and chemicals now. You've got to use distilled or reverse osmosis. You're either going to use a filter or you're going to be a filter. Period.
That's a fact.
And if you're filtering your body's filtering all kinds of poisons and toxins, you're going to age unbelievably fast. That's why fluoride is called the aging factor. There's a book out, Fluoride, the Aging Factor by Yami Matus, and it's one of the best books ever written on fluoride. And now the government, like we mentioned the other day, the EPA is trying to mandate and force fluoride back into the water.
They're
nationwide.
Repealing the federal court decision. Mm-hmm. They want to try to mandate it again back in there. I read about this the other day. They're trying to force to be able to override the state rights.
Yeah.
It's like Florida and Utah, we've pulled fluoride completely out of the water now, July 1st in Florida. Done. It's out. Now, we've still got chlorine. They got other stuff they put in it sometimes, but at least the fluoride's out. EPA's coming to say, we're evaluating this. We don't agree with the basically federal court decision. We're appealing this decision now.
Well, Kennedy needs to say something.
Yeah, he is.
He answered him again.
Yeah. He is. But I mean, the EPA, the problem is the EPA's gone rogue. They've gone rogue for the last 20, 30 years.
They're like ATF.
They're like, when you give these agencies that Chevron doctrine.
That's right.
And you say, hey, you're the professional on this topic. Whatever you see fit,
you can make the law. You make the mandate.
You, Congress passes it. All you have to do is stem off that now. And you could go in and modify, adjust, and basically change anything you want as long as it's based under that law. And the problem is these guys have taken this way too far. That's why I was so glad when Chevron doctrine got reversed last year.
But they're still using it.
They're still using it. It's going to take years to try to pull this stuff back because you've got to call these agencies power back from
them. Well, because they think they can do anything they want to do. Oh, by the way, you guys do anything you want to do on this weekend as long as it's healthy. And make sure you go to church. I'm speaking at church on Sunday morning. You guys like it if you want to watch it. And remember something. I love to go to the altar and pray with you and pray for you. I don't say I'm perfect because I'm not. I have a lifestyle and a life that I live, and I do the best I can, as we all do. But I have no halo to adjust. But I sure can pray for you guys, and I love you a lot.
Absolutely.
And I thank you so much for your grace that you give me when we say things we probably shouldn't say on the air. And thank you. Well, sometimes I use a bad word. I don't mean to, but it kind of just slips out, especially when I talk about Hillary Clinton. Remember that time I called
it's
her?
It's hard not.
I called her the B word.
To call her a bitch.
There you did it.
I can't help it.
I know.
She's a nightmare. She brings the worst out of me. That's why I don't like talking about her.
Well, yeah. She's a
pedophile, dude.
I'm trying to talk about church stuff now, but God loves you. Jesus loves you.
God doesn't love Hillary. I think she's a Satanist.
God loves you, and Jesus loves you. I love you guys, and I thank you for your support, and I thank you for continuing to basically pray for us, because if you didn't do that for us, we couldn't be here. And thank you for
That's the truth.
Thank you for the protection that you pray over us, because we get pretty wild here. We say some pretty crazy stuff. It's not that it's not true, but nobody else wants to talk about it but us, it apparently seems. But now other people are picking up what we've talked about for years, like Epstein's not dead. Well, I've been saying that since
the beginning. Lot of that is because of y'all. We couldn't do this without our listeners. Mm-hmm. Maybe just me and you talking, sitting around talking by ourselves. When you guys push this stuff out there and you start talking about it and you start looking at it and you do the research and you find out it's true.
And when you forward our shows.
You forward our show, everybody else starts going, hey, these guys sound a little wild, but man, they're right on a lot of this stuff. And so again, thank you for your support, my friends. Thank you for the positive emails. I do appreciate you. I know we say some pretty off the wall stuff. I'm out of pocket sometimes. I know that. I'm not sorry, but I understand I am. So
shape shifting reptilian fallen angels.
Friday, we're not going there.
Went there this week already.
Antarctica's next week. Get ready for that one.
And the ice wall.
Yeah, appreciate you guys. Ultimate Multiple. Make sure you stock up on it this weekend. 15% off. Also, make sure you're grabbing a collagen if you want to stack that within the fit.
Oh, collagen's great.
Really, I'm going to put a kit together of those two. It really helps out muscle recovery after the workout. Collagen and Fit Food Protein. Appreciate you guys. Love y'all. Have a good weekend.
Have a great weekend. Love you guys.